It's the web's only podcast completely devoted to daily fantasy sports. Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Here's your host, Dan Bach.
Hey everybody, what is up? Thanks again, as always, for checking us out. We're the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix, all presented by Daily Joust, your one stop for your daily fantasy news and notes, information, promotions, interviews, and of course picks and predictions, because ultimately that's what you're here for. You're here to win money, and I'm here to make your life a little bit easier. I'm Dan Bach, go by DB730, and we always thank you for checking us out here on the podcast. Today, though, we do have an interview with one Jeff Manns. He is of the Fantasy Alarm and fantasyalarm.com. Also does a show a couple of nights a week over there on the SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Channel, and he's a fellow Chicago guy like myself. Now, I haven't lived in Chicago for like 10 years. See, I've wised up. I figured that, the further south you go, that means less snow, wind, and cold that you have to deal with. So he's still up there in Chi-Town. So we'll talk to him and a really good conversation, talking some the daily fantasy, even getting to a little bit of baseball talk, which is kind of fun because, believe it or not, pitchers and catchers reporting. Everybody actually going to be reporting here shortly if they haven't already. And we'll actually, I think, have some exhibition games starting up before you know it. So baseball right around the corner. And with that, we should be having some big announcements coming up in the next few weeks regarding baseball promotions. I'm guessing that everybody's going to be doing something. I know last year FanDuel had a huge tournament for opening day. I wouldn't be surprised if they did that or some other site kind of did something similar to that. And of course, they had their FanDuel Fantasy Baseball Championship, which was a pretty great event. And I think it's going to be even better this year, as I think they might be taking it out to Sin City, out to Las Vegas for the finals again. There was some talk of that. So, and there probably is going to be some other stuff brewing on other sites as well. Be curious to see if maybe Draft Street gets into some kind of championship, large prize pool event. I have a hunch that they're going to, but again, just call it a hunch. But I imagine all this stuff is going to be coming down here in the next few weeks, because let's face it, baseball season only a month away. So, and believe me, folks, if you haven't played daily fantasy baseball, if you're kind of new to the industry and you're just kind of getting into the podcast, baseball is a grind. I mean, it is night in, night out. And if you want to get a lot of use out of this podcast, you're going to get it even more so in baseball than you get with football or basketball. Because let's face it, from a statistical standpoint, doing the homework on baseball is probably more important in that sport than any other sport. So we'll give you all the great matchups for the day on a day-to-day basis. So it's a lot of work for me, but just, making your life easier, because that's really what this podcast is about. So that's, again, baseball season, like I say, just about a month away as we move into March. But we still have some NBA today, so let's hit up the four games that we have on the schedule.
It might feel good, it might sound a little something, but damn the game, if it don't mean nothing, what is game?
Yeah, not a whole lot to talk about here today, but with four games, it is enough to put together a lineup. But usually my rule of thumb is on days where we have a light number of games, I find myself playing not quite as much, because let's face it, the one thing I don't like so much in daily fantasy is overlap, which is basically, having the same guys on your team that your opponent does. And, it's okay if you got one or two guys, but if you got like five guys on your lineup that's the same as somebody else, that really takes the enjoyment away. So I'll probably get in a little bit of action in the NBA, but not a whole lot for today. But if you are interested, let's go through the games. Oklahoma City in Orlando. Oklahoma City, they haven't won in Orlando since 2004. That means they haven't won since, they were the Supersonics. That's a long time ago. And their last three losses have been coming by way of like 15 points or more. So they haven't really had a great track record in Orlando. Durant only averaging 15 points per game in that building. Actually, it's a new building, but in Orlando. And it's actually the lowest road total of any team. To me, I think you can probably throw that stat out the window. I mean, he just lit it up over there in the All-Star game, which, let's face it, is a much different type of situation than a regular season game. But nonetheless, Durant will probably rebound. He didn't have a great game last night from a fantasy perspective, so I wouldn't be surprised if he does well against Orlando tonight. Dwight Howard, last game against Oklahoma City, he only had 40 points and 15 rebounds. So, yeah, I'd say he's probably a pretty good guy to consider tonight. Ryan Anderson had a nice game last night. I knew several members of the Magic were going to have good games against the Wizards. He was one of them, 23 and 15 in that game. Also, Hidu Turkoglu actually had a decent game for a guy who is just probably the most overpaid guy in the NBA right now. But that's Oklahoma City in Orlando. Minnesota, they are playing their third game in three nights. They take on Phoenix. And Kevin Love was out yesterday for Minnesota. I'm guessing he plays today. They probably looked at it and said, you know what, we have three games in 3 days, and we've got Phoenix tomorrow and L.A. tonight. You know, let's not quote-unquote tank L.A. like, you know, San Antonio did a few weeks ago when they sat Parker and Tim Duncan in a game and basically just threw it. But they looked at it and said, hey, you know what, Love, let's just sit him here and then take our chances against Phoenix because they're still in the playoff hunt. And I have just a hunch that he's going to end up playing tonight. Minnesota, they've been averaging 123 points last year when they visited the Phoenix Suns, so good chance they might put some points up on the board. I think I'd avoid Ricky Rubio. I know his price is coming down, but only 20 fantasy points in the last three games. Maybe teams have figured this guy out. You know, people mentioned figuring out Jeremy Lin, and so much for that. Had a great game last night. But I think Ricky Rubio, they figured this guy can't shoot. Let's just lay off of him, get in the passing lanes, and they've certainly, you know, you look at his output, like I say, under 20 fantasy points in the last three. It's not that hard to get 20 fantasy points when you play the amount of minutes that he has. So he's definitely come back down to earth. Derek Williams, Michael Beasley, both solid plays. Williams got the start last night with Kevin Love out. If Love wouldn't decide to suit up tonight, I'm sure he'd get the start once again. Phoenix, they actually haven't played since February 22nd, so it's been a while since they've been out in the court. Be very well rested. Channing Frye, consider him. He's been over 25 fantasy points in four out of the last five games, and I think two of those were over 30, so Channing Frye, a good option tonight. In Martin Gortat, talk about red hot, 36 fantasy points on average over the last seven games, including 40 in three of those seven games. So I would not hesitate to take him whatsoever tonight. Sacramento, they take on the Los Angeles Clippers. They've scored over 100 points in three straight games, while the Clippers have allowed over 100 in their last three losses. And DeMarcus Cousins, might consider him a good play. Like I always say about him, he's got a lot of high-end potential, and he's been averaging 20 and 13 over the last nine games, but only averaged 8 points per game last year against the Clippers. He's going to do better than that, but there might be safer options at the power forward slash center position tonight. Marcus Thornton, 30 fantasy point per game average over the last seven games. Also Tyreke Evans. I think he'll rebound. Had a bad game his last time out. He's a too good of a player to probably go back-to-back games to disappoint. So his salary, depending on the site, you know, a site like Daily Joust that mixes him up quite a bit, he might have dropped a little bit after his performance the other night, so might be a guy to consider. Blake Griffin, he's been over 40 fantasy points in four of the last six games. Chris Paul, also back-to-back games, over 40. Those are really the only two guys you can really consider. I mean, maybe Randy Foy. Caron Butler just has not been shooting the ball very well. I think I would avoid him until he gets out of that slump. And DeAndre Jordan finally put together a good game. 14 points, 14 boards last game. But it's been a while since we've seen that kind of production. I think Kenyon Martin has certainly taken some of his minutes and production away from him. So I wouldn't expect that again from Jordan. Last game tonight, the Heat visit Portland. I'd say LeBron James likes playing in Portland. 39 points, 11 boards, 8 assists on average in his last four trips to Portland. So yeah, if you can afford them, take them. Dwayne Wade also had 34 points in the last game against the Blazers. I think a nice little value play for tonight could be Norris Cole. Gets about 25 minutes a game. Usually good for double figures in fantasy points, and sometimes can get into that 20-point range. And for the price you have to pay, I think you could do worse than Norris Cole. A guy who hasn't been playing great, some inconsistency, is Gerald Wallace, but he is such a better player at home in the Rose Garden than he is on the road. So I definitely consider him tonight in this game, which could be a little higher scoring as both teams like to run it up and down the court. Also, Jamal Crawford scored 20 in the last game, the last two games, I should say, as the starting point guard. So I think he's a huge upgrade over Raymond Felton, and he's going to continue to do well in that role. So that's it for the NBA. I do want to pass this little news and notes to you. Tonight over there at Profanity Sports, a $200 Roto Grinders Survivor NBA free roll. Now, this is members only. Go over to the forums page here on rotogrinders.com. If you haven't, you know, if you just kind of mooch the podcast, which is cool, you can do that. It's not a big deal. You don't have to be a member to listen to this podcast. But if you're not a member of Roto Grinders, go ahead, sign up, and you'll find out more about how you can get involved and get into that free roll over there on Profanity Sports. And this is one of those NBA Survivor free rolls where you basically have no cap, but you can't pick the same player twice over the next 4 days. Now, honestly, I think the Survivor games are going to work better with a longer format because it makes it more difficult as opposed to, you know, only 4 days. You got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You know, it's not that difficult. But basically what you're more or less banking on is finding which studs are going to have the big games, because again, it is not a salary cap situation. So even if you're a new player, good chance for you to kind of try out their site and see what you think. And remember, if you do sign up, 50% deposit bonus if you use, I think it's Grinder50 is the code. So check that out on our website. We review all the daily fantasy sites out there. So that's it for the NBA tonight. Best of luck.
This is my kind of town. Chicago is my kind of town.
Excited to bring on our next guest to the podcast. He is at fantasyalarm.com. His name is Jeff Manns. You can also hear him Saturday and Sunday nights over there on SiriusXM's Fantasy Sports Channel. Jeff, always appreciate you taking the time for joining us here on the podcast. How are you doing?
Doing well, Dan. Anything for you, Parker.
Well, hey, I appreciate that. That makes me feel
good. Okay, almost anything. Okay. I don't want to push the boundaries too far yet.
Well, I was going to say, you know, we're just, you know, this is like our first coffee here. So, you know, maybe down the road we can do more. But you're out there in Chicago, and I always like to bring, you know, people who actually have jobs in the fantasy industry. And I like to learn exactly how they got to that point, because I'm sure lots of people listening to podcasts would be like, man, I love to be like a fantasy blowhard. Like, how do you get that job? So tell me about your journey to basically being a fantasy sports personality.
You've been reading my business cards. Fantasy blowhard is the caption right there. Advice to anybody, it's hard. I mean, it's not an easy industry. It's easy to break into. It's easy to post your own blog. It's easy to start out in that. But the thing is the dedication, the sacrifice you have to make, the time. I mean, it takes so much time, and you don't get, it's very unheralded. You don't get feedback. You build your listenership, your viewership, your readership through one person at a time, and it takes forever. And there's days that you just don't want to do it. Believe it or not, a lot of people, that love fantasy sports, we check our teams all the time. But there are days you're just kind of like, oh, man, I don't want to write about Tommy Hansen's non-concussion again. You know what I mean? But it's your job to put the information out there. So there are definitely, it's like any job. You know, eventually, come to a point where it's difficult and you're tested and you have to really persevere. So I think that's the biggest key to anybody wanting to start out in this industry is, you got to go with it. You got to be willing to sacrifice a lot of time and effort into doing it for, at the lower level, and just start out and build your viewership, your readership, one brick at a time.
And, looking at your bio, so I got a little info on you, so I'm not going in here totally blind. It looks like you kind of merged or were acquired by Fantasy Alarm back in 2010. I mean, how did that experience go? Was that ultimately like your goal? Like, hey, I'm going to build something and then maybe somebody will like it enough to acquire me. How did that work out?
Never was the goal. People at Fantasy Alarm, the suits, as I call them, they'll tell you as much. I'm not much of a follower, but, it's an interesting thing, Dan. Years in the industry, years and years of doing it and building it brick by brick, and there's a lot of companies start up and they go out, and they start up and go out, and you get, I've written for a lot of sites, I've mm-hmm. got my content out there, I've done shows and podcasts in the past for different entities and whatnot, and it just came down to the I had a bad relationship with one group of sites. And Ryan and I, Ryan Hallam, started out, we said, you know, we were a successful podcast in the top 20 consistently, even top 10 sometimes in iTunes and sports shows, and, you know, had, you know, 8,000 plus downloads per episode, and we're, you know, really doing well. And we just, so we started out, we went out and did our Fighting Chance Fantasy, and that's, you know, it's fun, and it's rewarding, but, you know, at the end of the day, it comes down to, do you want to be, you know, a lower-level player? Not even lower-level player. Do you want to play for the Yankees? Do you want to be a role player for the Yankees, or do you want to be the star player for the Astros? You know what I mean, right now? And that's what it comes down to. And you know, after 9 years in the industry, you know, I was at a point where I'm like, you know, I want to be part of something good. And I want to be part of something that's growing and people who are dedicated to the craft. And who really want to, you know, make it and get our information, our content out there, you know, on a wide level. And Fantasy Alarm, you know, showed to do that. I trust the executives over there. And we said, you know, let's make a leap of faith. I felt good about it, that this could be something. And it, 2 years since that merger acquisition, it's really proven exactly to be that.
We're joined by Jeff Manns here on the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. You can obviously catch his podcast, or his show, I should say, over there on Sirius XM Sports Channel Saturday and Sunday nights. And also does a show over there on Blog Talk Radio. Now, tell me about the Fantasy Alarm itself. You know, this is a, you know, I don't know, maybe you're a competitor of ours or not. I'm not real sure. I think we kind of are both in the same vein of trying to just inform people about the fantasy industry. What kind of makes you guys a little bit different from some of the other fantasy content sites out there? Because there, as everybody knows, there's a gazillion places where you can get information, you know, regarding fantasy sports. Tell me a little bit more about your site and what makes you a little different.
Well, I mean, the backbone of what we do is our alarm service. Our alarm service is something which you bring for lineups, for inactives and actives in football, for lineups in basketball, that, you know, it's a report. It's sent directly to the league office, MLB, NFL, NBA. It comes, you know, as soon as the lineups are recorded, which they have to be an hour and a half ahead of game time, let's say for baseball, which is coming up here. You know, as soon as the lineups are submitted to the MLB office, we get the report. It's like it's turnkey. It's immediate. It comes from MLB to us. We send it out to our subscribers, and you'll have, you know, the information of who's in the lineup, who's out of the lineup for each given day. If you know, Ryan Braun is missing a day on Saturday afternoon, he's getting rest, or Buster Posey's not in the lineup, you'll know about it if he's on your fantasy team. So you could sync it up right there on to any of your ESPN, Yahoo, CBS league, right there on the site, and you get text messages sent to your phone. So, you know, for it's great for the daily leagues, especially, you know, you can get a guy out of your lineup and get a fresh body in, you know, off the bench, so you're never missing those big games. And we all know, in head-to-head leagues and daily leagues, that's the key. I mean, you need those live bodies. The more you get in there, even if it's one extra run or one RBI, you know, those are difference makers through the course of a season. So that's the backbone of what we do. That's the infrastructure of what we're about. And, you know, and the news also comes, I mean, even if you're not in daily leagues, it's a news service. It's, I mean, it comes directly to your cell phone, your email inbox, however you choose to get it. You know, it comes directly from there. You know all about Tommy Hansen's, you know, the concussion issue. You know all about Chris Perez's oblique. You know all about this because it's sent directly to you. So that's the backbone of what we do at Fantasy Alarm. Then obviously, we offer content. We do writing. I just posted a spring training blog just, you know, a few moments ago. So, I mean, you know, we're updating that. We got a closer report. We got the injury stuff that, you know, everybody does. And that's our opinion and our staff's opinion. But they're really the foundation, the backbone is the alarm service that we do.
Well, and that's the key. You know, you mentioned it with the daily leagues. I mean, especially come baseball season, you know, you can't be throwing teams together with guys who are not playing, because if you do, you're going to lose. It happens. And obviously, you know, your service, you say, you know, I'm kind of curious about this, because you say, you know, you can enter your lineup and I can or your roster. And I could see that really being an easy, quick function for you in a season-long league, because you're basically have the same roster most of the year. Now, from a daily perspective, I mean, is it – could people use your service that way, or would it be easier just to go and follow you guys on Twitter? I mean, from a daily perspective, I mean, you have a different lineup basically every day. It's never the same the same guy. So, I mean –
Right. Sorry, Dan.
Go ahead.
You could cut – you know, you could choose to override it. You could sync up with your league, like I mentioned, on CBS Live. But for daily leagues, you know, a lot of this is offered on some of the daily services. You know, we our service is being provided straight through it. I mean, Bloomberg and Snapdraft and some of the big ones, these guys have – you'll find Fantasy Alarm Service already built into their mechanism there. So you'll get the choice to alarm your lineup or not. When you choose these players, if you just want, you could use the free service, and it's via email. You could sign up, and then you could just pick. You know, you could change them however you want every day. When you do your lineup, you could decide, okay, you set your lineup, let's say 11 o'clock, and then you know I'm gonna say, okay, I'm gonna go to Fantasy Alarm, make sure I want alarms on these guys. Boom, boom, boom. It's literally just click, submit. It's done. And then you'll get those alerts set directly to your phone. Or, I mean, if you're really brazen, you could just choose to follow everybody. You could put everybody in MLB if you wanted to. There's no limit to as many players as you could follow at once.
I'd imagine your inbox would be pretty full.
It would be crazy. It's crazy. I did that for a little bit, and it was too insane for me. I can't even do it. I try to keep track of everything we send out, but that is just when we send out. You know, 500,000 emails a day.
Yeah, that's nuts. We're joined by Jeff Manns of the Fantasy Alarm. Now, let's talk some daily fantasy. Obviously, yeah. I'm a fan of the industry. I kind of devote a whole podcast to it every single day. I think it's like the next biggest thing that's happening in the fantasy industry. What's your feeling about it? Are you a player? Do you have any strong feelings about it one way or another? Tell me about your thoughts on the daily fantasy industry.
Absolutely love it. I mean, daily fantasy is where it's at. You, Dan, you're 100% right. We love what you do with this podcast and Roto-Grinders as well. It's so great. I mean, just being able, for one, you're not stuck into a season-long slump. If you suffer a huge injury and all that in our league, your leagues, in daily games, you don't have that. You could come out of a bad draft. One bad draft pick doesn't sink your battleship, so to speak. You know what I mean? So.
Mm-hmm.
I love the daily games. I play them all. I didn't play in any NBA leagues this year, but I've been playing daily NBA quite a bit, and I'm having a good time doing it. It's a lot more fun that way because, you know, NBA and hockey actually as well, that they sort of overlap with football and, you know, we're heavily committed to football,
sure.
So it's hard to get, you know, together for a draft and everything in there. So you just go and play in the daily leagues and set up some of these own, you know, some of the sites have. You could basically build your own league. You could invite your own people and do it that way if you so choose. You could do, you know, the free rolls. I mean, and plus, who doesn't like winning money?
Yeah.
For playing fantasy on a daily basis?
And let's not kid ourselves. I mean, the season-long leagues are great, but, you know, I don't care who you are. I mean, this playing for pride thing with friends, nobody does that. Everybody, I'd say, like, if you looked at true fantasy leagues, I'd say at least 75% of those have cash involved on a season-long level. So the fact that you can get the satisfaction and, you know, you get the quote-unquote sweat, as people like to say, I mean, you just can't beat it. And, you know, I mean, is this something, though, that, you know, I mean, it's still in its infancy. I mean, we've still got maybe a dozen sites out there who deal in the daily fantasy sites deal in the daily fantasy world. It seems like we got a couple more coming like every 6 months or something. So obviously this is expanding. Obviously there's a lot of money involved, but from somebody who does, you know, provides content, especially from a radio perspective or, you know, your podcast, I mean, is this something that you think you guys need to address even more? I mean, do you think that there's enough people that, you know, really focus on the daily side of it that, you know, you got to kind of talk about it more than you ever had in the past?
Oh, we absolutely are. I mean, Fantasy Alarm's full. We've dived, you know, head first into the daily game waters. I mean, we're just establishing Fantasy Alarm Daily, our newest website, you know, devoted to the daily games and all that. So, I mean, we're really going. and hitting, and because our customers want it. You know what I mean? Our clients want it. They want the daily game advice and news and the latest offers and all that kind of stuff. They want to know what's going on in the world of the daily games. It's a different perspective, and even our blogs and that, we've sort of tilted some of the efforts there into, you know, providing content for the daily games. It's very important, and like you said, it's a huge, it's the biggest, it's going to be the biggest increase in fantasy players for sure, you know, this year and in the future, is to go towards the daily game. So yeah, it's a huge focus of ours. We're very much on top of it at Fantasy Alarm, as you guys are as well.
Tell me a little bit about your love of the White Sox. I mean, I'm from Chicago. Oh, I grew up in the northwest suburbs, so
yeah,
you know, I mean,
a Cub fan.
Of course I'm a Cub fan. Like, you know, I read that you're a White Sox fan. I'm thinking like, okay, well, what's wrong with this guy? I mean, you say on here like it's one of your greatest moments of your life is watching the Cubs or the White Sox, excuse me, win the World Series. You know, I mean,
as a
Cubs fan, I mean, you're living in the city. I haven't lived there in probably a decade. You know, I grew up there, but once I left to go to college, I really haven't gone back because I discovered
that's a typical Cubs fan.
Well, No. See, I discovered like the further south you live, the less snow and cold and wind you have to deal with.
Yeah.
So I'm all the way down in Florida right now. So there's no reason for me to ever like want to go back up there and live there.
Sure.
But I'm not going to lie, you know, I'm still a Cubs fan deep down inside. What's the story up there? I mean, they got Theo. I mean, is this, do they, I mean, obviously I look at that roster and it looks absolutely horrible. I mean, is there any gleam of hope up there for Cubs fans?
There's more hope for Cubs fans than there are for White Sox fans at this point. I mean, obviously the Cubs are in a transitional period as they, you know, perpetually are every 3 or 4 years, but you know, they have Theo in there, they've got Jed Hoyer, and that they have guys who are in place that are good talent evaluators, good front office guys. They know how to structure contracts, especially. They won't be bound by Alfonso Soriano, hopefully, going on into the future. They've got a couple contracts coming off the books. And the farm system's in decent shape. I mean, you've got a Josh Bitters, a Junior Lake, these kind of guys out there. Brett Jackson, you've got young players. The trade for Anthony Rizzo was an absolute steal. I mean, an absolute. They could be convicted of a felony for that ripping off the Padres on that one. Andrew Cashner with his shoulder always popping out of sock. I mean, that's a straight fastball. Hey, okay, they ripped him off. So and you got Starlin Castro already in place. You got some pieces there. Who knows how it's going to turn out? I mean, when Lupinella came to the north side of Chicago, I said, okay, this is it. They're finally going to do it. They're finally going to get to a World Series. They're finally going to achieve something. And he just couldn't get it done come playoff time. So I've learned my lesson in saying anything's for sure, especially in this town. But the Cubs are definitely in better shape than my White Sox.
Well, I was a little surprised they didn't make more of a run at Fielder. And I know you don't want to, you know, that's a lot of money to pay to a guy who's overweight. And, you know, you don't want to be stuck with paying this guy $20 million, you know, late in his career. But I just don't necessarily foresee the next big free agent coming out in the next year or two that's going to change their fortunes. And yeah, they got some decent prospects, but they're not like the Tampa Bay Rays. It's not like they're going to build their team through their minor league system. Was there even a lot of talk about going after Fielder? Because I thought he was a perfect fit with, you know, him playing up in Milwaukee, not all that far, you know, down the road. But, I mean, were you surprised he didn't make more of a run at him?
Absolutely. Him or Pujols, I thought for sure the Cubs would make a splash of one of them. But, you know, they've spent a lot of bad money, and their ownership isn't, you know, before the Tribune sold the club, they really made a run at it. And that's when you saw the Soriano deal. That's when you saw them bring in every and any free agent, Marlon Byrd. I mean, they overpaid for so many people just trying to get it done before, you know, they had to sell. But the books became so bad that they had to, you know, they had to sell the club. And now new ownership is really committed to being balanced and not losing tons and tons of money on it. And people think, well, how could the Cubs lose tons of money? I mean, they don't, and that's one of the problems with Wrigley Field. They could draw much, much more people. They could, you know, you have a lot of people seeing the games for free around the park, and you only could fit some 40-some thousand in the park. I mean, they're missing a lot of opportunity by revenues.
But they're, come on, they're, I mean, yeah, they're missing some opportunities, but they're the freaking
club. Well, no, they're still making money.
They could charge,
no, I'm not trying
they could charge whatever they wanted for people to go there. I mean, when I went to a game a couple years ago, just the dollar sign just jumped out. Like, my goodness, how much money are these guys making? I mean, you got to remember, I lived over in the Tampa Bay area for a while, so I would go to Rays games, and I'm thinking to myself, how can this team even field a team? How can they even make payroll with how few people they had? And the fact that they could do it, even though it wasn't a big one, compared to what the Cubs are bringing in every year, I mean, it's just crappy.
Well, that's apples and oranges. But, yeah, the Cubs, they are a big money team, but right now they have a lot of money tied up. And they're still paying guys. I think they're still paying Sammy Sosa's contract, to be honest with you. I mean, they're still got a lot of bad money on the books. They're waiting to get out from the Soriano thing. I think they didn't want to get tied up in older veteran players, Fielder and Pujols, especially at first base. Right now, I don't like the Pujols deal. 10 years is way too long. The Prince Fielder, 9 years, it's way too long. Like you said, the guy's big. 4 or 5 years, you're going to have an albatross of a contract very likely. And what if this guy suffers an ACL like, Victor Martinez or Scott Sizemore just did? What if they come back and aren't the same player? You still have to pay him, those are bad contracts. And I hope that Theo Epstein and the Cubs front office, a lot of front offices, quite frankly, sort of forget, stop doing this. Stop guaranteeing 10 years of a contract and ownership. I mean, it's getting outlandish at this point.
Well, you think that they would have learned from the whole A-Rod deal. I mean, because obviously
A-Rod,
that's the worst contract in the history of sports right now.
And nobody
learned from it. Well, I can see what Anaheim's doing in the sense that that they want to build this giant brand in Southern California. And let's face it, the
El Hombre.
El Hombre. I mean, the money that they get from the television deal alone. I mean, geez, that's what they have to pay Pujols is a pittance compared to what they're getting in that deal. So I mean, that's why they went ahead and did it. If they win 2 or 3 titles, it pays for itself. But if they don't, then you're right. It sets you back a lot further.
2 or 3 titles is a lot to ask, especially
when
you're dealing with the Rangers, the Yankees, and the Red Sox.
But how many titles did the Cardinals win with him?
Yeah, they won twice. Two. They stole 2 titles.
Okay, it wasn't easy. Joined by Jeff Manns. Jeff, last question for you before we let you go. Now, this is kind of season-long league, but the wonderful thing about Daily is that it's all about value. And like early on in the season, there's usually a lot of value out there because – basically most of the salaries are calculated based on recent performance and statistics and stuff like that. So give me some like new guys, some young guys who might come up this year early on in the season and really surprise people who, when they're making their baseball lineups, maybe guys to target on a night-to-night basis because they're going to be cheap from a salary perspective when you're putting together your salary cap team.
A lot. I mean, for one, pitchers, there's just a ton of pitchers out there that are going to be good value and represent good value early on, especially in the season. I look at guys, we talked about the Cubs, a former Cubs, Carlos Zambrano. This guy goes down to Miami, has a lot to prove. I mean, Zambrano's always put up really good numbers, and when he's not melting down, he's not going to do that in Miami, not under Ozzie Guillen. Zambrano's married to Guillen's cousin. There's no... None of that's going to happen. Zambrano is going to have to toe the line, or he's going to be knocked the hell out, to be quite honest. So Zambrano, a guy like that, I love Edison Volquez of San Diego. Anybody on San Diego's pitching staff, I say it all the time, Bud Black is a miracle worker with starting pitchers. He just is fantastic, dating back to those days with the Angels back in the early 2000s. I mean, and what he does for guys like Clayton Richard and Aaron Harang and all these reclamation projects that he gets, he sought out Edison Volquez. He wanted him. They paid a big price to get him in Matt Latos. And I have a feeling Bud Black knows exactly how he wants Volquez to throw the ball, and he's going to maximize that. There's tons of potential there. So a guy like him is going to present a great value. Bud Norris, I mean, tons of strikeouts, at least for the Astros. If not, I mean, I'm probably not going to get a lot of wins down there, but still can do well. Eric Bedard, guy's finally healthy after several years of arm troubles with the Pittsburgh Pirates. I think the Pirates are going to be pretty good. I mean, teams, for one, you're going to overpay in daily games for Yankees and Red Sox players. So just forget it. Some of them might be worth the price tag, but the lower teams that are going to surprise you, the Washington Nationals, Pittsburgh Pirates, these teams are going to be better than a lot of people think this year, and therefore a lot of their players are going to have better value.
Yeah, can't believe you're picking the Pirates. Now I see the Nationals.
Well, I'm not picking them, but I mean, look at the NL Central.
I mean,
they lost Fielder, lost Pujols in the division. I mean, the Reds are there. The Reds are stacked, but then you got Dusty Baker.
That's true.
They have a young, team, but Baker hates young players.
Yeah, he's about 10 wins in the negative and sure to blow out somebody's arm before the season's over. And you're right, the Astros are probably the worst team in the league. So I guess there's some opportunity there with Pittsburgh. So I guess I can't bust your chops on that too much. But time will only tell on that. Jeff Manns, Fantasy Alarm. Again, check him out Saturday, Sunday nights, SiriusXM Fantasy Sports.
And Wednesday.
And Wednesday? Three nights a week.
Yeah, we do Wednesday. Sirius can't get enough of us, evidently. So we're doing Wednesday. I'll be on tonight, Wednesday night, 8 to 10 p.m., Eastern time then too. So
we get three nights a week, and then are you doing stuff on Blog Talk Radio too? Are you on there too?
I do a Blog Talk show every Tuesday from 9:30 to 10:30 Eastern.
Great stuff. Hey Jeff, certainly appreciate your time here on the podcast, and we'll do it again down the road.
Anytime, brother.
Time for me to say a quick thank you to my good friends at Daily Joust. They have been a sponsor since the first day this podcast started. So if you enjoy this, if you like the podcast, then give these guys a try to earn your business. I play over there all the time. I had a pretty good night last night. I'm sure I'll be back once again. And college basketball is in full swing. Got tournaments nightly for that. Great action there. NBA, of course, Solo Survivor Tournament Day 2. Lots of people advanced last night with some of the high-scoring players that had big games last night. So lots of players advancing to Solo Survivor 2. I don't know if they're going to have games tonight since there's only four games on the agenda. But nonetheless, one of the great things that this site is doing, you know, they kind of are thinking outside of the box when they're putting these promotions and different type of games together. And I give them a lot of credit for that. And the one thing I do really enjoy is how easy it is to get information on their site. Game logs are right there, and it tells you exactly how many fantasy points these guys are scoring from night to night. It just makes your life that much easier, and let's face it, you know, not a lot of people have all the time it takes to put together these fantasy teams, so any sort of way to make your life a little bit easier, I think it's good for the user. So please check them out. Great fan of the podcast, and I'm a fan of their site. They are dailyjoust.com. Okay, we've got a few games tonight in college basketball. FanDuel, DraftStreet, Daily Joust, the three sites you can go and find yourself some college hoops action. I'm going to go through Daily Joust tonight. I've been looking at DraftStreet the last few games or few days, but here are some guys I like on Daily Joust tonight. Remember, it's only points scored, so a totally different format than what you have on FanDuel, where it takes into account all the categories, including blocks, turnovers, steals, and DraftStreet, which is just the main categories, points, rebounds, and assists. But over on Joust tonight, here's a couple guys I like. I think Brandon Paul is due to have another big game for Illinois. He's only at 157K. This guy has been over 200,000 earlier in the season and obviously had a little bit of a letdown there. It looked like Illinois, the wheels were falling off that team. But Paul came back, I think had like a nice 17-point game the other day, and he's very, very capable of putting 20-plus up on the board. And that's ultimately what you're looking for when you put together these teams. You want them to exceed their perceived value. So basically, you're looking for 1 point for every thousand that is out there. So if he's 150,000, 1 point for every 10,000. So if he's 150,000, you're looking at 15 points to pay himself off. If this guy can go for 25, he's definitely going to help you, you know, get to that point. So I like Brandon Paul tonight. Now this is kind of a odd pick maybe because the matchup doesn't scream a lot of points, but I like Mike Scott of UVA against Florida State, coming off an awful game against North Carolina. I think he rebounds. He's definitely their number one offensive performer. He's at 183,000, so he's expensive. He's going to have to go over 20 to pay himself off, but I think he's very capable to do it. Florida State and Virginia, both good defensive teams, but he's the one guy on offense who I'm guessing had a pretty embarrassing performance there the other day against North Carolina. He's going to want to rebound nicely. I think Garrett Jackson of USC is a good value against Washington, only 98K. This guy plays plenty of minutes, capable of, you know, getting from 10 to 15 points. I think he's a safe play for when you consider how many minutes he has to play. I like Eli Carter tonight as well for Rutgers. This guy is perfect for the Daily Joust format because he is a scorer, and that's really all that he is. He's not a guy who you can really count on to get a whole lot of rebounds or assists. But if you look at the way that this guy plays, he likes to jack up shots. He's gone double figures in the last three, and actually been double figures in five of the last six. And that's what you look for. Guys who like to shoot, because if you don't shoot, you can't score. He's at $137,000 tonight for Rutgers, so consider him a must-play over there on Daily Joust. So those are just a handful of guys to consider tonight on your teams in college basketball. We thank you again for playing your college hoops, and you can do it again. FanDuel, DraftStreet, and Daily Joust. And with that, it's time for us to say goodbye. Thanks to Jeff Manns of the Fantasy Alarm. Great talking with him on the podcast. Check him out, fantasyalarm.com, and also on Sirius XM Fantasy Sports Radio, Saturday, Sunday, and I think Wednesday nights you can catch his show. Please follow us on Twitter, at RotoGrinders. There we give you all the up-to-date injury news as how it pertains to Daily Fantasy, and certainly can help you out with those last second scratches and value plays. And lastly, please subscribe to this podcast. Very simple over there on iTunes. Therefore, it'll be with you every single day. We try to get it up for you about 10 a.m. or 11 a.m. at the latest Eastern time. So if you're looking for the podcast on a daily basis, that's one place you can find it. And of course, right here on Roto Grinders. But till tomorrow, everybody, have yourself a great Thursday night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. See ya.